If you'll take your Bible with me this morning and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 2. This morning we're going to look at the first miracle that Jesus Christ did. Verse number 11 says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Beginning in verse number 1, it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your word this morning, how precious it is to have in our hands and be able to read and look and hear and listen and understand the very words of the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, that has given us your word that we might know thee, that we might know thee, the true God, and thy son Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that your word would speak to our hearts. Do that work which only you can do in each one of us through your spirit and through your word. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is the first miracle that Jesus Christ would do. He says that down in verse number 11, this beginning of miracles. John the Baptist has declared that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus has called disciples and spoken to disciples and spoken to Nathanael, and even in his words to Nathanael, Nathanael knew and believed that he was the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 says to Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than just what I've spoken to you. Speaking about himself and what they would see in the person of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ is going to manifest his glory. And that's the focus of this passage of Scripture. That's the focus of this miracle. You know, I love to just look at photography and pictures that are taken. And I used to like to do photography and take pictures. But you know, every picture that's taken, the photographer, when they take that picture, they want your attention to be drawn to really one thing. There's a focus in that picture. And that picture can be filled with so many details. But their purpose is that you would focus on one thing in the photograph. And there's some ways that they do that. You might be taught that one of the ways to draw the focus to that point that you want people to really zoom in on is that you wouldn't put the focus of the picture right in the middle, but you'd put it off to the side a little. But now with editing and all the digital technology that we have, there's another way that they utilize to make sure that your focus centers on that which they intended to focus on. And that's by just blurring all the other details in the picture. And if you notice many times in photography today, there's someone will take a picture and then they'll just use whatever program they use, that, and all the peripheral things will, they'll be there. They're still in the picture, but they're blurred so that your focus goes right to the one point that that person that took that picture wants it to be. And such we have in this miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in writing as well. When a person, when an author writes a story, they can fill that story with so many details, surrounding details, background details, if you will. But they have to be careful. They have to be careful that the details in all of the background don't overshadow the main focal point of the story. And this is one of the things in John chapter 2, and it's one of the things as you read the Gospel of John. John puts, and so aptly puts in verse number 11, where the focus is. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And the focus of this miracle, the sole focus of this miracle, is that Jesus Christ is manifesting forth or showing forth his glory. Back in John chapter 1, it says, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what he was going to show in this miracle at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. But John also, as you begin to read, he includes a lot of details in the background, important details and significant details. To any Hebrew reading John chapter 2, they would understand the significance of those details, and very interesting details. If you knew the countless hours that I spent just getting wrapped up in all the details that are found in John chapter 2, and then the Lord said, but Pastor, that's not the focus of the story. That's not the emphasis of the story. And yet they're interesting, they're significant, but we're not going to dwell on those this morning, but I do want to touch briefly upon some of them because they're important. You see, in verse number 1, we have the setting in verse number 1 and verse number 2, and we have the setting that is in the background. And it says so much. It says the setting is found in verse number 1. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Right there, there's a number of things that are set forth that they're so interesting and significant and speak a lot to the background and the context of the story. Started me thinking when I read those first four words, the third day. The third day. Why, John? Why did you include that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. But John, why did you include the third day? Why did you include the fact that it was a marriage ceremony? Why did you include the fact that it was in Cana of Galilee? Why did you include the fact that the mother of Jesus was there? Why all these details? Because they point our attention to the real focal point of the story, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, it was a marriage. It was at a marriage feast. In those days, the marriage would take place, and the marriage supper and the marriage feast would go on for probably 6 days. It would start, but then folks would come from the whole community, and they would just stop by and congratulate And so it was like an open house for 6 days. But you see, a marriage in those days, a marriage in Hebrew society, a marriage to Israel, was one of the most sacred occasions in a person's life. And it always reminded them and always pointed to their relationship as a people with God. For the Old Testament tells us they were considered the wife of Jehovah. And it was a serious, it was a sacred occasion. But you see, when it says it was the third day, that pointed to a very specific marriage. Because when it mentions the third day, that points specifically that it was a marriage of a virgin. Not a widow, but a virgin. And the Hebrew historians point that out so clearly. And that also points to something in this passage of Scripture. That points to the fact that Jesus Christ is not pointing Israel to the old relationship, but to a new relationship. A relationship that would come through Jesus Christ. A relationship that we know that, as we know, the fullness of Scripture and the rest of the Scripture speaks of that when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they become part of the bride of Christ and look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But there's something else here. It says there was a marriage and it took place in Cana of Galilee. Cana of Galilee. Why Cana of Galilee? Well, for one reason, because Galilee was a place that was not consumed or overwhelmed or wrapped up in all the religious trappings that you would find in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you would see the temple, you would see the Pharisees and the scribes, and you'd see all the religious trappings and all the religious workings, and not so in Galilee. In Galilee, they were simple folks. And yet they were earnest and sincere in their seeking after God. It was a serious occasion. It was a serious occasion. And you find this. Listen, John chapter 2 does not give any place for any scene that would lead to any impropriety in this wedding. That takes away all thought of this wine being of any intoxicating value. Because in John chapter 2, in this wedding, there's no mention of any friends of the bridegroom. That Israel was very, and Galilee was very, very specific about. In Galilee, their weddings were simple, serious, and sacred. And many times, they wouldn't have friends of the bridegroom because of the friends of the bridegroom were the ones that would tend to lead the wedding in the wrong direction and take from the sacred to another direction. But instead, there was a governor of the bride, a governor of the feast. And that governor of the feast was a person that was responsible for taking great care over everything that took place at this marriage feast. Not only all the provisions, but all the activity. And the Bible says, not only that, but the Bible says, the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was called and his disciples. And here we see there must have been a personal connection. This wedding feast that was taking place, this marriage feast that was taking place, was most likely someone that was either related or a close friend of the mother of Jesus and even Jesus and even the disciples. And yet even here in John chapter 2, we see that this earthly connection, if you will, would be set in its proper place, because what was more important than the connection with the mother of Jesus to Jesus was the connection that Jesus had with his heavenly Father to do the will of the Father. Oh, when Jesus Christ was 12 years old and he was in the temple, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And now he was beginning to do the work of his Father, do the will of him that was sent me. He says, that's my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And while he loved his earthly mother, he knew that that earthly connection would be set in its proper place, and that he would do the work of the Father, the one that had sent him. When he lifted up his voice on Calvary, he said, it is finished. And all of these are significant details that lay the framework and the context and the setting for this miracle that would take place. But the focus of this miracle is on one thing: that Jesus Christ would manifest forth his glory. That we would behold his glory, full of grace and truth. And when you look at this miracle, there's three things about it that I want to mention this morning. The first one is how it begins. How this miracle and why this miracle takes place. And the first point is this: that with everything there and everything taking place, there was something missing. There was something missing. For you see, in verse number three, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Everything else is there. Everything else is all set. The home is there. The rooms are there. The servants are there. The food is there, but there's no wine. And to the Jewish people, wine was a symbol of joy. And there was no joy. There was no wine. You know, that's a picture of life without Jesus Christ. That's a picture of our world today. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that if you're without God and without Christ in this world, you're without hope. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up its mire. There is no rest. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The reason why the world is in such turmoil today, the reason why the world is filled with anger and hate and all that's going on, is because they're missing the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring to a life. After this miracle in Cana of Galilee, the next event we see in the Gospel of John is when a rabbi named Nicodemus would come to Jesus Christ by night. The reason he came to Jesus Christ is because even though he had all the religion that he could have, there was something missing, and he knew it. And he came to Jesus Christ seeking, because he knew there was something missing. He was a rabbi, a teacher. And he came to Jesus Christ by night, because with all that religion that he had, there was an emptiness inside. And he didn't have the joy that could only come through Jesus Christ. You go to John chapter 4, and Jesus Christ would come to a woman in Samaria, a woman at a well. And this woman had lived her life, and yet she was still missing something. Jesus Christ would tell her all about her life. He said, "You've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not even your husband." And she knew there was something missing. You see, what's missing in the world is the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring. And you can have everything you want. You can fill your life with the things of this world. You can fill your life with the things of this earth. You can fill your life with all the everything you can think of from every path of life. But without the presence of Jesus Christ in your life is empty. And at this wedding, at this marriage, it was supposed to be a joyous occasion. There was no wine. It was missing. It was missing. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. To provide for you and me that which was missing, so that we could have true joy in our lives. And so the first thing we see here this morning is they had everything they thought they needed, but they were missing the most important thing, the symbol of joy. But second of all, when the mother of Jesus speaks to Jesus and says they have no wine, Jesus' answer says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And he was distinguishing himself from his earthly relationship with his mother to do the work of his heavenly Father. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now Jesus Christ would give them his word. And here we have the message. The message of joy. And it's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. True joy, real joy, only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, he says, "I am come that you might have joy, and that my joy might be full, and that my joy might remain in you." John chapter 3, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus realized that something was missing. Jesus pointed out to him, he says, "Well, Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't know the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God until something happens. You must be born again." In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ would come to that woman at the well. And she also understood that something was missing in her life. And there was no joy in her life. Jesus Christ said to her in John chapter 4, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus answered in verse number 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. No satisfaction in that. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she would come to realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ would say this at another feast, at that great feast. Jesus Christ would say this, verse number 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that was Jesus was not yet glorified. And the only way to have true joy is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in John chapter 2 now speaks to the servants. And the first thing he says in verse number 7, Jesus said unto them. And you know what's interesting is verse number 6, there were six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews containing two or three firkins apiece. These water pots were very important. Cleansing and purification was one of the main points in the Hebrew religion. How to be cleansed, how to be clean. And these water pots were for that purpose. And this family had six water pots. They probably had to go and borrow some to bring into the home to make sure they had enough. And what's interesting in this passage of Scripture is that the Bible says that they contain two or three firkins apiece. Jesus Christ is going to tell these servants to fill these water pots with water, and they would fill them to the brim. He said, you fill those water pots with water, earthen water pots. And he's speaking about the necessity of you and I having the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. He says, fill the water pots with water. Jesus said, I am the well of living water that springs up into everlasting life. The book of Isaiah, he says, come and drink. Come and drink. But folks, it's through Jesus Christ. And the way to have Jesus Christ is by understanding that Jesus Christ is the one that gave his life on Calvary, lived a sinless life, and came and died upon the cross of Calvary, and bore your sins upon that cross, so that through his precious blood, your sins could be purged and cleansed. You could be forgiven and given the gift of eternal life. And it's the message of the gospel. It's a message of the gospel that a life without Christ is a life that is empty. But that Jesus Christ needs to come into a person's life by faith. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. For by grace he's saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what's interesting? Is that when Jesus Christ tells those servants to fill those water pots with water, they filled the water pots and they filled them to the brim. They filled them to the brim. And you know, that also speaks to the filling of you and me with Jesus Christ. It brings the abundance of life and the fullness of joy. But then Jesus Christ tells them to do something. Jesus Christ could very well have just said, fill those water pots with water, and turned and walked away and just waited to see what happens. But he didn't. He went a step further. He says, fill those water pots with water. And then he says to the servants, he says, now I want you to bear it out. He says, I want you to draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast. And they bear it. Jesus Christ, from back in John chapter 1 and all the way through, as he called his disciples, he told them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And as Jesus Christ has given us the gospel, as Jesus Christ told those servants to fill those water pots with water and gave them the message, he now told them, I want you to take that. I want you to take that. I want you to take that message of the gospel. I want you to take that water that has been turned into wine. I want you to take it and I want you to bring it and bear it to the governor of the feast. And Jesus Christ has commanded you and me that have received his gospel. He's commanded us to do something with it. He says, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. For God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, one of the disciples that was there was John. And John was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John understood the message of Jesus Christ. And if you turn over to 1 John chapter 1, John clearly, in another passage of Scripture, emphasizes this very thing that he sees in this miracle that is done in Cana of Galilee at this marriage. In 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And then he says, why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John, in 1 John chapter 1, is bringing forth the responsibility that he had, the privilege that he had, and then the responsibility, the privilege that we have to not only know the gospel personally, to not only know Jesus Christ personally, but to bring it to others that they may also have the joy that we have through our salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ gives a message to the servants. And he says, fill those water pots with water. Because when those water pots are filled with water, there'll be joy. And that joy is through Jesus Christ, through being saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, now draw out and take it and bear it to the governor of the feast. And so we see, number one, that there was something that was missing that could only be filled through Jesus Christ. Number two, we see the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we come to number three, the miracle. You say, wait a minute. I thought the miracle had already taken place. Mm-hmm. The miracle had taken place. The water had been put there. The water had been turned to wine. You know, the miracle already has taken place. Because one day, a couple of thousand years ago, Jesus Christ went to a cross of Calvary. And on that day, Jesus Christ, once and once for all, did something that never would ever be repeated again. He paid in full for all of your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary. That was a one-time event, folks. Never, ever having to be done again. Greatest miracle that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, would be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But, Pastor, you just said the miracle. Well, you see, the miracle all of a sudden became personal to someone else. The miracle that had taken place became personal to the governor of the feast. Because they took that water that was made into wine and they drew it out and they brought it to the governor of the feast. Just like you and I, when we go into the world and we walk up to someone and we tell them the good news, we tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we bear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we hold it out in front of someone. The work has already been done. Christ has already died. He's already been buried. He's already risen. He is seated on the right hand of God. But did you notice what took place in verse number 9? When the ruler of the feast had what? Tasted the water that was made in wine. When the ruler of the feast tasted the water, the wine, they brought that water to him that had turned into wine. They held it before him. But he would have never known that it was the best of the best until he personally lifted it to his lips and tasted. That water that was turned into wine. Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he speaks about how precious the Lord is. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But you know, in verse number 3 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he says this, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, the only way you'll know the joy, the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, if you yourself personally take that message of the gospel and believe it by faith and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Psalm 34 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." And all of a sudden, when this governor of this feast received that cup of wine, and all of a sudden he took it and tasted it, he said, "This is the best. This is it." You see, my friend, this story has one message. And that message is Jesus Christ. And the message is this: if you're without Jesus Christ, you might have everything in this life, but you're missing the only thing that can give you real joy, and that's Jesus Christ. And by faith, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because only through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone will you have true joy. Mark chapter 1 and we have the first public message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And he says, "Repent and believe the gospel." And this morning, I wanted to just conclude by asking you two questions. Number one, have you tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for your Savior and for your salvation? Because the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And until you taste of the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith receive Him as your Savior, you'll never know the joy that only He can bring. But maybe you're here today and maybe you say, "Pastor, I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now I don't have joy." Then you need to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because only in Jesus Christ is there fullness of joy. And Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us to have that fullness of joy through Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that Your word has spoken to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's someone here, oh dear God, that has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they might understand that only in Jesus Christ is there salvation, and only in Jesus Christ is there fullness of joy, and they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, I pray today if there's Christians that are just lacking the joy of the Lord right now, that they would turn and come back to Thee, that You might give them the fullness of joy that You want them to have. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.